This morning's scripture lesson will be from Exodus 24, verses 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone, and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Now we're going to hear from our gospel lesson. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Do not be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of God has been raised from the dead." This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now, Lord, to share my testimony. Amen. You know, today we heard of 2 stories, one from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, one from the New Testament book of Matthew, of Jesus appearing, number one in Matthew, going up to the mountain. And something supernatural, something mystical happens, the appearance of Moses and Elijah. And we're told that he took 3 up with him, James and John and Peter. And this experience happened, and it must have been such a mystifying and wonderful experience. And so we're told that Peter wanted to hold on to it and said, let me build shelters for you. And we heard that passage when God called Moses up on the mountain and the cloud enveloped him, and he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And then as Linda was talking with the children today, we get this experience of Jesus being led into the desert. You know, when we think about these experiences, they all have a mystery to them. They all have something that we really can't explain why and how it happened. But for about the last 500 years, we in the Western world have been intolerant of something that's mystery. We want to know how one thing creates another thing to happen. We want to see things happen in front of us in order to believe it. You know, it's kind of interesting. We have that need, that concrete need to see and to feel and to touch for something to be real. You know, at growing up, we were raised in church, and as I was reflecting yesterday about some of my family who have not been in church since then, it's those folks that have gone to maybe some of the very scientific sides of their careers, and unless they can see what happens, they don't believe, and have left the Christian faith to become agnostic or atheist because just that. When I was thinking about this as I was flying last night, and I thought, this is just amazing how here we are in the air, and this plane is up here, and there's so many things about this that we just don't understand. How does it keep us up? Why don't we fall? All these things permeated my mind about the mysteries that we have in our world. And I remembered a story that was kind of interesting. I'll never forget when my son was just a little guy. You know, we had the thing, but when you come to the dinner table, two things. You need to wash your hands first, and then we have to say a prayer before you start eating. Sounds kind of fairly normal. I'll never forget the one day just having to say, Robert, go and wash your hands, and we need to say grace before we eat. And he was one of those little kids that would like to kind of pick before dinner and try to find. So the one day I just heard him muttering to himself, and he said this. He said, germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all he talks about, and I can't see either one of them. Think about it. That's pretty profound for a 6-7-year-old kid. Those things that are unseeable, untouchable, but are real. And you know, despite the evidence of real and invisible forces, many refuse to believe in God. Or maybe this, many refuse to believe that God can do anything out of the ordinary. That God can produce miracles, and the power of His Holy Spirit can change lives, and His healing can just be that, healing. Some of us feel just so out of touch sometimes because of the faith that's in our world and how it has eroded. But you know, it's interesting, as we find people and that don't want to believe in the mystery of our faith, if you really look at the world, what people really want are those spiritual realities. You know, it's interesting because, like I said, how many people believe nowadays in different religions that are based on people having witches, or different religions that are built on having crystals or things like that. It was very interesting, the things that and the lengths that people will go to see their future or to be healed or something, and they'll turn to all these secular things. Psychics are making an innumerable amount of money. But people want to go beyond the rational and to find that, but yet it's not happening in our faith. And so today is a good time for us to hear those two stories, those mystical stories, for us to remember and to realize that, yes, there is mystery in our faith. And the mystery of our faith transforms us. The mystery of our faith is that which will heal us and protect us and guide us. And stories like Moses on the mountain or Jesus being transfigured, they tell us that our faith is real and that our God is real, and that His healing power and His presence is real, and that He loves us, and He wants a relationship with us. And He will do the things that we need Him to do to love and care. You know, there's a story of George Frideric Handel. Everyone is pretty familiar with the Hallelujah Chorus. And if you've ever gone to a symphony concert or a service where the Hallelujah Chorus is sung, what's usually the tradition? Anybody? Standing. Does anybody know why you stand during the Hallelujah Chorus? Okay, because the king did. Here's an interesting fact about that. When Handel wrote that, when he penned the last notes of it, composers have a lot in their heads. And it was told that he was found in his room with his hands and face on the desk on top of the script, crying and weeping. And when asked, Handel said this out of his tears, "I saw all heaven and earth before me, God Himself." I wonder, is that just metaphorically or was it true? Did he really see God and heaven Himself? Every time we sing that, every time we're in the presence of that, every time we do stand, if you get that little feeling inside of you, that's God in heaven and Himself coming through the pen of George Frideric Handel. You know, today's a good day to remember that God offers us opportunities to go up to the mountain with Him, for Him to show us things about our lives, to show us things that He has planned for us, or that He just wants us to be with Him for a while, that we might find His being. And when we're up on that mountain, whatever it is, I don't want you to rush down. And so as we think about this today, about those times where Jesus comes into our life and does something mystical to us, not to rush down, but just to stay there and see what Jesus will do and what His Spirit and His presence will do. Now, there are understandings for these realities. And the first thing I want to say, when people say to me, "Well, Pastor, how do I know if an experience was really a mystery or it was happenstance? How do I know that it was really God's direction or it wasn't? People will say to me sometimes, "I prayed last night about something, and this morning or this afternoon this happened. So does that mean it's God's will?" Well, the first thing I want you to be mindful of is be careful, because our brains can be tricky and our feelings can be distorted and manipulated. But we can't ever doubt the possibility that God does work through His Spirit, that God does work through the dreams that we have, the actions maybe that we're prompted. But the other thing we need to do when we're trying to evaluate those mystical experiences, those mountaintop type feelings, is we need to put them to the test. And the test of this is this. Is the experience that you're going through, or the knowledge, does it produce fruit for the kingdom of God? And that's where we go back to those fruits of the Spirit. What you are experiencing, what you're feeling led to do, is it based on love? Do you feel peace? Do you feel joy? Do you feel faith? Do you feel humbleness? Do the experiences that we have make us more loving, more peaceful? It doesn't matter what the experience is, as long as we're focused on the kingdom of God. And my friends, there are spiritual realities in this world that we cannot deny. And the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ as He comes into our lives is something that our faith is built on. And so today, I encourage you not only to pray, but to seek God in the events of your day, to seek God in the things that are happening and occurring to you, that have happened and occurred to you. Like I said, we're at an age where we're so hungry for spiritual realities, and we need to turn that back to our faith. I don't know if the show is starting tonight, but there's going to be a show on TV that's called Resurrection. Anyone see the advertisement for that? I don't know what it's going to be about, but I think it's something where people who have lost someone, or that person comes back, and there's this mystical. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, isn't that a question that we have about resurrection? And yet, we believe. We don't need that TV show to believe, but it's going to be interesting. And I'd be interested to see how many people actually watch that. I'm sure it's going to be rated pretty well, because people are hungry for that. And my brothers and sisters, we have the answer to that. We have the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our faith and in our being. And what we need to do is we need to have some mountaintop summits with ourselves. We need to have some of those mountaintop summits with people who need to go up there and to see the beauty and to see the reality that God has in our lives. And so as we come to our time of communion today, we have another mystery. That as we partake it, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the elements of communion, that His spiritual presence will enter our lives. Never forget the power that God has, those that are seen and those that are unseen. And never forget the possibilities this Holy Spirit leaves for us. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank You so much for bringing us into Your presence today. We thank You for these experiences that we have that may be out of the ordinary or laced with mystery. And God, may we know that there's no situation that You can't act in. That You are a God who seeks us out. A God who brings us up on the mountain and illuminates things for us and gives us the strength to carry on. Lord, I ask Your blessing, as sometimes we struggle with what's real and what's unreal, and that we know You as the God who died, sent His Son and died for our sins so that we might have life again. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.